light.
In Joshua chapter number 7, we're going to see the story about why the nation of Israel was not able to move forward because of Achan's sin. I think many of us know that story. We're going to go over that a little bit. But the thought process that's on my heart this morning, I believe the Lord's laid upon my heart, is I think as a Christian in our lives, and especially as a church as a whole, is something that I think we should be moving forward when it comes to our Christian walk and doing things for the Lord. I looked and been doing a little bit of reading in the book of Acts, and I loved the first century church because of its boldness it had. They were sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. They let the Holy Spirit lead them. We a number of weeks ago looked at the story of Peter and John when they healed the lame man, and they said, you know, should we obey God rather than man? Or also, you know, hearken, what do you think? Who should we obey, God or man? Should we obey you or should we obey God? And you saw in that church how it just, even though things were bad, and they were under a lot of oppression. People were getting killed for the cause of Christ. They were living under the Roman rule. There was a bunch of sin was running rampant. We think sin today is pretty bad, but if you go back and you look at the Roman government, the percentage of people that did some vile acts, and it was a wicked time. But the great thing you see in the book of Acts is the church is moving forward. Not only is the church moving forward, it goes from Jerusalem and then it goes to Judea and to the othermost parts of the world, like it talks about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then you get to that Antioch, and that spot in Antioch where they send Paul and Barnabas out, and it goes from one location to another location, another location. And there's churches that are built, there's churches that are established, it's just the cause of Christ is going forward and it's moving forward and continues on moving forward. And it's an exciting time. But you look in the day and time that we live in today, you do see some work happening, but you don't see a lot, especially here in America. You see that there is many churches have become lethargic. They come to the spot where they're thinking, okay, Christ is going to come back. Let's just hold on. But I think as a church, we should move forward. We should want to see people saved. We should want to see people baptized. We should want to see people discipled. And you're like thinking, why is that we seem like instead of moving forward, it's like we're being pushed backwards? And in the story here of Joshua, I see it in the story, and I love the story. I like the book of Joshua because of the fact that all that the nation of Israel had to do was be faithful. God had made them promises after promises after promises. And he says to them, hey, look, all you have to do is go and take the land. He's already given it to them. All you got to do is go possess the land. He's already made them promises. Actually, instead of Joshua chapter 7, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And Joshua chapter 1 has some really great promises. So under this context, when you get to the story, we'll understand a little bit better. God's already said, hey, look, you're going to be able to have this land. I've already given it to you. Let's take it as a possession. It says Joshua chapter 1. Look what it says in verse we'll go ahead and start in verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do, what's the next word? Give to them. He says, I've already given you the land. It says, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now look at some more promises like you saw in verse number 3 and verse number 2. Look what it says in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Look what so this is the promise that he gives to the nation of Israel. And he says to them, there's not going to be able to have anybody stand before you. Verse number, keep on going. As I was with thee, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto the people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Let's go back to chapter number 7. So I love the thought process that's there. Okay, nation of Israel, all you have to go in and possess the land. I've already given it to you. And there will not be anyone that's able to stand in your way. And you say, Pastor, that's the nation of Israel. This is the church. Man, the church has been given great promises. The church has been said, you know, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church has been given the Holy Spirit of God, and we've been given a commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. We have our marching orders, the things that we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to be moving forward as a church. And I'm not just talking about physical things. I'm talking about we should be going forward in our lives spiritually. We should be seeing spiritual victories and spiritual battles, but many times we seem like we're discouraged and we seem like we're defeated because there's something going on. And let's look here in Joshua chapter number 7. Now, if you go and you think about the story of Joshua chapter number 7, many of you know what happens. There's the great battle of Jericho. There's the huge walls. I could imagine if you were the nation of Israel, looking up at all those huge walls, and you're thinking, how in the world are we ever going to get this accomplished? And if you know the story about the walls of Jericho, God says, okay, I want you to go march around them. I don't know about you. If I got those marching orders, I'd be like, what? March around them. He says, just go march around them. You march around once a day, and then on the last day, you're going to do some great work. You're going to march around it numerous times, and then you're going to shout, and then the city's going to be yours. And you're like, that sounds crazy. But that's what happened. I mean, that's exactly what happened. There was a victory there. They're sitting there, and they're looking at all those walls, and they're wondering what's going to happen. The Lord speaks to Joshua, and they move forward, and what happens is a great, great victory. Well, in chapter number 7, there's a problem. One of the guys did not listen to the commandments that God had given them, and because of that, there was sin in the camp. And because of that, the nation of Israel tries to move forward. You know what happens when they move forward? People die. I think it's 35 different people that are killed because as they go to Ai, they're like, go in there, try to take the battle, and there's some things that did them wrong, some things that stopped them from moving forward. And I'd like to look at that and consider a little while today moving forward or reasons why we're not moving forward. And I think this passage of Scripture can help us this morning, and I pray it'd be a blessing and encouragement. I know it spoke to my heart, and I pray it speaks to yours also. Let's jump in here. Joshua chapter number 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now look what it has in verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. So he's being a good captain here. He's sending people out to say, hey, let's go look and let's see what's going to happen or what exactly we need to do to be able to conquer the city, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Verse number 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So here's the thing. He goes, he sends his spies out, and he comes back. There's something that's missing here. Look what it says in verse number 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. So what's missing? He never prayed. He went and he listened to his men's thinking, but never ask God what he was supposed to do. I think one of the reasons why we don't move forward is because we don't pray. I think one of the reasons why we don't move forward as a church sometimes is because our leaders don't pray. And I, same thing, you say, Pastor, you're the leader of the church. I need to pray more. But it's not just me that needs to pray more, but we all need to pray. But our leaders need to pray. If we're going to move forward, if we're not going to listen to man's thinking, if we're not going to listen to what everybody else is thinking, we're going to look for God's thinking. God's given us promises in his word. We need to claim some promises, and we need to go out and move forward as a church to do things. Here, Joshua has already been told, this land is yours. Go and do it. But he has to obey all the commandments that God's given him. It's not him winning the battle. It's God winning the battle. Let's keep on going. Verse number 4. And they fled before the men of Ai. So they, even though it was a small country, small town, small city, whatever, they fled before them. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. So it wasn't 35, it was 36 men, excuse me. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shepherim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, you got to understand this. They're there, and God's told them, hey, look, we're going to give you great victories. No man's going to be able to stand before you. They just win Jericho. They send out, and they follow their leader. They send out, and they turn around, and they They get conquered here. They go running, and they're running backwards or running with their tails between their legs. And instead of moving forward like God had told them to, they are running with their backs turned to them. Sometimes I see that as the church today, is instead of moving forward, it's like we're retreating when we should be pushing forward. So many times we instead of listening to the Holy Spirit of God and desiring God's power and desiring God's work and believing that God can still work today, we're turning around and saying, well, maybe I can't. Maybe I just shouldn't deal with that issue. Maybe I shouldn't try to witness to that person. Maybe I don't even need to go to church. Maybe I don't need to read my Bible. And instead of moving forward, it's like we're like these guys here and they're just running away because the devil seems like he's getting the victory here. Let's keep on going. Verse number 6, let's see the response here. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Now, that's the proper response. They turn around, they're sorrowful, they don't know what's going on, they didn't figure it out. And verse number 7, Joshua begins to pray. But look at Joshua's prayer. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God," and look at this, it says, "Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" He's blaming it on God. He's saying, why in the world did you, God, bring us to this spot? He's blaming the Lord for their problems. He's blaming the Lord for the fact that they had to run and hide. Let's keep on going. He says, "Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." He's saying, you made a mistake here, Lord. If you couldn't take care of Ai, why in the world did you send us there? And verse number 8, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And so he's there. He's pouring out his heart. He seems justified in his sin. He seems like God's made a mistake. He's not asking God, show us what's wrong. He's not saying, God, we know we failed. We know we're the ones that are wrong. No, they're blaming God. I think that happens sometime where we live today. Why is God letting all this happen? Why is God doing this? And why didn't God just do it this way or God do it that way? Let's keep on going. Verse number 10, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" He's like, what are you doing? What are you sitting there on your face for? "Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled it, dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, This is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." This morning, I'd like to think for a little while about moving forward or why the church isn't moving forward. First thing I want you to think about is the reason why the church is not moving forward is because we're human dependent more than we are God dependent. And consider the two things, human dependence versus God dependence. What got them in trouble? What got them in trouble wasn't the fact that Joshua had sent out the spies for the most part. That's just being a good leader, good captain. Nowhere did God say that was a problem. What happened was when these guys come back and they say, hey, guess what? This is a small area. This is a small land. You know what? We don't need everybody. Just take 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll get no sense making everybody else work. No sense getting everybody else involved. You know what? They became confident in past victories. I think that happens in the church. And we relish and we talk about things that happened in the past, and we wish for those glory days, and we remember when churches were packed and they were filled, and we remember when people got saved. And even you think about it in the Bible stories, it's great when you're preaching and you can use Bible stories. The same God that did it in the Bible stories is the same God today. And the same God that did the victories in churches in the past 50 years is the same God we serve today. The God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that we serve today. Why are we so fearful? Why are we not moving forward? It's because of the fact that we rely on those past victories. We're confident in them. They were excited about what happened in Jericho. But here's the thing. Who did Jericho? Was it the people or God? That story was there. It was put there and it taught them. Giant walls, no chance. God does it. And God does it supernaturally. You can say all you want, but walking around the thing seven times did not cause the wall to come down. God caused those walls to come down. And they were confident because of the fact that they had won that victory earlier against Jericho. They had reason in their own mind, hey, we can come take care of this little one by ourselves. We don't have to ask God. We don't have to be dependent upon God. Look at what we did over here in Jericho. And they're patting themselves on the back. They're giving each other high fives. They're saying, look at what we did. We did this great job in Jericho. They didn't do a great job in Jericho. It was God that did the job in Jericho. And it's not us that's going to be able to do something in our church. It's God that has to do something in our church. And we cannot rely on the past victories. We cannot say, hey, maybe God will do it again someday. And we're patting ourselves on the back saying, hey, look at what we accomplished here. If we accomplish anything for God, it's Him that does it and not us. So the reason why the church isn't moving forward many times is because we're self-confident in past victories. They had this sense of past success versus present failures. They didn't figure out the fact that it was the greatness of God that had done it. They had forgotten, hey, look, we can handle this little issue. And the reality is we can't. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face in every area. We don't need to make decisions about, hey, what are we going to do here or there? We need to ask God. There was a lack of genuine prayer. So not only was it the human dependence versus God dependence, underneath that they were self-confident in past victories, but there was a lack of genuine prayer and seeking the Lord. I honestly believe if Joshua had prayed, the Lord would have told him earlier. He chose not to seek God. He chose to do what made sense physically. He chose to do what made sense as a general, as the warrior. He chose all those things, but he forgot to seek God, which is the most important. If he would have had genuinely sought God before Ai, they would never had to defeat. They defeated Jericho. They should have to, and they had to listen to God, but now they're looking to themselves to defeat Ai. They don't think they need any help. Here's the problem with the lack of prayer. With the lack of prayer, you're never going to know what the real problem is. Let me say that again. With a lack of prayer, you're never going to know what the real problem is. Ai didn't seem like it was a problem or issue. Everybody in Israel agreed. The elders probably agreed. Joshua agreed. The military leaders, the spies. Okay, let's send 2,000 or 3,000. They even turn around and send 3,000 instead just to make sure, be extra careful. But a lack of prayer means you're never going to know what the real problem is. We turn around, we look around and say, oh, you know what the problem? People aren't coming to church because of COVID. We're not moving forward because there's a COVID problem. And I know there's some limitations there, but that's not why the church isn't moving forward. There isn't people getting right. There aren't people having families put back together. We're not seeing people saved. We're not seeing people discipled because, and they use these different reasons, but we're never going to truly know what that reason is until we start praying. He would have never known. The only person that knew about Achan's sin was Achan and possibly his family. And because they known about Joshua had never been able to figure that out on their own. We need to pray and ask God, God, why isn't the church moving forward? God, why aren't we seeing more people saved? God, why is it America seems like it's getting more and more and more wicked? And you say, well, that's just a sign of the times. I understand that. But at the same time, it was very dark in the Roman Empire that day. And that first century church turned the world upside down. That first century church saw thousands of people saved. That first century church sent out missionaries and planted churches everywhere. Why aren't we moving forward? As a church, yes, we are, in some ways, in small pieces. But don't you think God has so much more for us? Yes. And the question is, why? And many times, we got to consider, am I God-dependent or am I self-dependent or human-dependent? Sometimes I think we lose faith that God can do the impossible. It boils down to this: we're afraid. A couple weeks ago, we began talking about this. Last week, we talked about it. Remember why when we were preaching about surrender, and the reason why we don't surrender is because we don't see how God's going to figure it out. That's what the faith life is. And the reason why we are not willing to completely surrender and seek after God with our whole heart and our whole life is because we don't see how God's going to make it work in the end. We can't give anymore because we can't figure it out in our mind because of that. And we can't surrender our kids to the Lord because we're worried about this or we're worried about that. We're fearful today. We've lost the sight that we serve a God that can do all things. We lost the sight that we serve a God that can do the mountain moving and can part the Red Sea. And even during the Roman Empire, all the wickedness and all the darkness, they still, in that time period, they planted a church that changed the world. So why aren't we moving forward like that? Sometimes I think we forget the reality of Christ. In John chapter 14, verse number 8, Philip asked the question. It's right after that, really, the question that Thomas had. And Philip should have had it marked. It's coming. John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Then Jesus answered and saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? He's talking to Philip, and Philip's like, hey, if you show us the Father, we'll believe. He's like, I've been here the whole time. Him and the Father are one. He says, you've been with me all this time. I am the reality. I am, he is God. He's God the Son, and He said, Philip, you missed the whole point. And the same thing I think we miss sometimes as a church. There is a reality that we serve Christ and Christ lives in us. There's a reality that the Holy Spirit of God is in us and we walk with Him. If we will understand that He is there, He can accomplish anything. He can accomplish all things. And as He's there with us, He can help us do whatever He desires for us to do. Not what we desire all the time. Sometimes people push that and say, oh, guess as long as you want it, God will give it to you. That's not found in the Bible. But there is a God that can do all things, that walks with you, is willing to walk with you as you walk with Him, and is willing to do whatever it is that He desires for your life, what is right and what is best, and you can trust Him because He loves you. This evening, we're going to look at the power of love a little bit. And as a little preview clip of it is, if God, and we've always heard God loves us, that's a head knowledge many times. If we truly believe God loved us in our heart, what would we be afraid of? Nothing. So, Pastor, I'm not afraid of anything. You think about it. If your child who you love so much, you demonstrate your love, and you cared for them, they know you're not going to do anything to harm them, right? They know that you're never going to do anything to put them in a situation that was in your control to put them in danger or put them in a situation that they could get hurt. You wouldn't do it. Then why can we serve a God that can do all things that we believe and we say He loves us and that He loves the world and He cares so much about us, but we are afraid to do what He asks us to do in His Word? It's because we don't really believe He loves us like that. It's a head knowledge. But in our hearts, if we would truly understand the love He has for us, it will cast out all fear. And what it will do, it will help us understand there is a reality that Christ is with us and that He is there and He is among us. What does it say? Two or three gathered together in His name. I'm in the midst. If Christ is there, can He teach us? Can He not do something amongst us? He can. And the Holy Spirit of God, can He take the things that are being taught, no matter how bad they might sound or how many times the words are broken up or all those other things, and He can speak and use the Word of God in our hearts to change lives? That's what happens when we move forward. But how come it seems like we're just sitting still, or worse yet, have gone back farther, and we're not even at the spot where we love God more than we used to? Here, we see that they had become self-dependent instead of God-dependent. They were human-dependent instead of being God-dependent. And the second thing, not only that, is there was uncontested sin. There was sin. If we're self-dependent and we're not praying, we're not going to truly get what's wrong. We start blaming people. We start blaming that person's attitude. We start blaming the fact that that Sunday school teacher doesn't show up on time. We start blaming pastor, assistant pastor, deacons. We start saying, oh, this is the problem, this is the problem. And have you prayed? Because if we pray, many times God's going to reveal to us the problems that we are so we can help change the church as a whole. But many times we start looking, oh, I know what the problem is. And we start giving our fleshly wisdom and our fleshly, and this makes sense. All we need is 2,000 or 3,000 people and we can take care of AI. That won't be a problem. And we start saying, oh, all we need to do is become a little better with our children's ministry, or maybe change our music a little bit, or maybe change our version of the Bible, or maybe start lowering down some standards, or maybe start doing this or start doing that. That's what the problem is. When we haven't even prayed and asked God, God, why are we losing this battle? Why are we turning around and running away when we should be moving forward? Why is it that we're just sitting still in our Christian life, not seeing God work? He is a God that can do all things. And yes, we see him work in different times and places. But it's hard to fathom when you haven't even heard God speak to you in such a long time. When you don't get anything out of the sermons, when you don't get anything out of your Bible reading, when you don't get anything out of your prayer life, and you're like just kind of coasting along, we're supposed to move forward in our Christian lives. We're not supposed to be like these Israelites have so many promises. They said, no one's going to be able to stand against you. Everybody you face, even the giants, even the mountains, no one's going to be able to stop you. They've been given that promise. All you have to do is go and possess the land. And think about the promises he's given us. He says he can provide a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He says that he can fill us with the Spirit, and that anything we ask according to his will, he's able to give it to us. He says that we can do greater works than he did by seeing people saved. There are so many amazing promises he's given us in our word that says, go forward, go forth, go teach the gospel, preach the gospel. Don't stand still. You have a mighty God that can do all things. But we stop because we become human dependent. Our human reasoning tells us that's not the problem. And the problem is we don't genuinely seek to pray and ask God, what is it that I need to do to fix? What is it that I need to do? Then you look here. There's uncontested sin. And that's the reality is sin is what the problem is. Joshua's lack of sin. And once again, I'll take it, the blame here. It says that Joshua as a leader should have sinned. The elders there, they should have prayed. And they didn't pray. And if we're going to move forward as a church, it's going to be on our knees and praying and moving forward and seeing what needs to change. There's unconfessed sin here. There's a problem with materialism. Achan steals it. He covets it. There's a problem with materialism that began back in Jericho. But you think about that. I think about Achan. You think about God has promised them the land. They only possess a portion of it. They miss what God really planned for them to do. They only possessed, and I don't remember, I remember when we went through Joshua, there's a small portion of the land is where Israel decided to stay. But Israel, Achan sees, they conquered Jericho, he sees a little bit of stuff there, he says, man, that stuff's going to be really great. I'm going to take that stuff for myself, and I'm going to go hide it, and I'm going to use it someday. I don't know whenever he's going to get a chance to use it, but that's a whole other story. That was just the first fruits. God was saying, I want you to honor me first. But you know what happened in Ai? They got that spoils. You know what happened with every other land? He got spoils. Achan messed up because Achan would have had so much more if he would have just waited on God. Achan would have had so much more because the whole territory, the whole land was something that the nation of Israel was going to take and they were going to possess. God described it as places where they weren't going to have to build houses and the vineyards were already going to be there and the land was just there for the taking and all the value and all the wealth, all those things was going to be there. If Achan would not have been so materialistic and said, this is what I had to have. Instead, God says, I have so much for you. If you will just learn to honor me first, Achan says, no, I got to have this now. And there's a sin of materialism because God has so much more planned for us as a church and so much more planned for us as a believer. Now, it might not be physical blessings like the suit of armor and the gold and the silver like he was talking about in the promised land, but he has so much more that he has given us and promised us peace. He has promised us power. He has promised us everything that we need to be successful and also productive as a Christian. But we keep on going back to this world and keep on saying, man, I see that suit of gold and I see this materialism and I got to have this. And the sin is, I love this more than I love him. I want more what the world offers me today than what God has planned for my life. And who knows, what the world has to offer is nothing near to what God has planned for your life. But because of materialism, because it's unconfessed sin, because we're not willing to have the faith that God can take care of us and that God can provide for us so we can see what God will do for us in the future, we keep on going back saying, I want this, I need this, I have to have this, and nobody confesses it. We all think it's okay to sit there and live that way. Unconfessed sin or uncontested sin is something that will cause us to have the wrong attitude and make the wrong response. Go back here and see what happens here. Look back at 5, 6, and 7, Joshua's response. He has a wrong response. We'll go to verse number 6. He's sorry for the consequences. And Joshua went in his clothes and fell on the earth in his face. So he is sorrowful. He did the right thing there. He's sorry about what happened. But then he blames God for the defeat. He's emotionally overwhelmed, and he goes to God and says, God, why did you make this happen? Why didn't you let us be happy? We would have been happy on the other side of Jordan. Yeah, this is great to have this big giant grape. It's great to have these great cities. It's great to have, but we could have made our own thing. We could have been happy over there, but we face the reality that we blame God and say, God, you made a mistake. I shouldn't have continued on moving forward. God doesn't make a mistake. If God wants us to move forward, you know what's going to happen? He's going to help us move forward in his way and his timing, so that way our fruit will continue to produce even during times of drought like we talked about a few weeks ago. Then you see, not only did he have a wrong response because he was sorry for the consequences, he blamed God for the defeat, and then he's worried about what other people think. Look what it says in verse number 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? He's saying, what am I going to say to these people? What about the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land? When we have uncontested sin in our lives, we're going to worry about what other people think instead of saying, God, what do you think? God, what is it that you want? This morning we talked in Sunday school class about how Peter went to Jesus and said 7 times, and Jesus said no. He says, you didn't get that from me. It was 490 times. You know, it comes to the point that, are we living according to what we think is right, or are we living according to what God says is right? Let me encourage you today. Don't allow uncontested sin to stay in your life. You're going to respond the wrong way. You have no choice. If you're not praying, you're not going to know what the real issue is. We like to blame so many things, so many problems, the issues with the government, the issues with this, the issues, and they have their problems, but they are not the reason why the church is not moving forward. They are not the reason why we're not closer to God today. They are not the reason why we are not a successful, victorious Christian. Well, let's not blame our society for the fact that if we don't walk with God. The third thing I want you to think about is the keys for moving forward. Some keys to moving forward. It begins with prayer. I know Joshua here is selfish in his prayer, which is another reason why people do not move forward, is because they're selfish. But he's desperate in his prayer. We need to seek God. The only way we're ever going to move forward is on our knees. We need to pray to God and beg God and ask God, what is it that you want me to do? I don't want to be a 7 Christian anymore. I want to be the 490 Christian that you desire. I don't want to work up what I can do in my own flesh. I want to do what you can do through me. Peter's 7 times of forgiving a person would look exceptional to the world. It looked exceptional to many other Christians. But Jesus says, that 7 maybe you can handle, but I can increase that 483 more times if you allow me to. But we're never going to know until we learn how to pray. And not only it's vital that we pray, but we need to be persistent in our prayer. He talked to God, the Lord, before Jericho. He skipped it the next time. We got to be persistent. Just because he gives us a victory one day doesn't mean, hey, look what happened here. I did something good. I don't need help with this one. It's a constant attitude of prayer. And it must be definite also. We need to pray definite things, expecting that God will answer our prayers. In our prayer journey we went through, we talked about claiming the promises of God or prayer promises, and there is a list of them, so many different ones. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There are so many different promises that he gives us in his word, and we need to be praying with the confidence that God loves us. Also, as we pray, we need to learn how to deal with sin. I don't know about you, but God tells me plenty of times what's wrong with me when I'm praying. When I'm sincere in my prayer and seeking his face, that's when we will find what the real problem is. And many times the problem is me. I need to change something. Many times it is I need to go talk to somebody, or I need to take care of something. I need to work on something. The reason why we don't move forward is because of the fact that we don't like dealing with our own sins. Was Achan dealt with? He was. And sometimes we feel bad for his family, but that shows you how God looks at sin. That's it. Got to get rid of it. That's what we need to do in our lives. If we want to move forward, we're going to have to deal with that sin. But then we're going to have to go with complete obedience also. If you continue on, there's a commandment here. Not only when you're dealing with sin, it talks about sanctifying themselves, means getting right, making sure where our lives are clean. That's a whole other message. And then after all this is said and done, what does God tell them to do? God tells them, now I want you to go. I want you to take the ark. And I want everybody to go to Ai. I don't care what those spies say. You listen to me. If you want to move forward, we cannot care what the world says. We have to learn to listen to God. When are we going to hear from the Lord? When we pray, when we read our Bible, and when we hear preaching. And I know some might say, hey, Pastor, this is a little bit harsh or hard. I think we have a good church, and I think we do think, and I do believe, I agree. I think we have a good church. I think we should move forward. I think we move forward sometimes in little ways. But I think many times we're like that seven that was talked about in Sunday school class. If you didn't get a chance to hear Sunday school class, because I know many of you work in the back, I encourage you to go listen online. We're doing what we think we can. But Jesus said unto Peter, I say not unto you. He's saying, look, you did not get that from me. You did not get that number seven from me. You got that from maybe the Pharisees and times in by two and adding one. You got that from maybe the disciples, but that is not what you heard from me. This is what I expect. And I think sometimes our church, we're over here and we listen to everybody else. We listen to the spies and say, all we need to do is these couple thousand. And we think we've done exactly what the Lord wants. We think that the Lord would be pleased. Of course, Joshua wouldn't have done it if he knew God was going to be unhappy. Joshua just never thought to pray. Joshua never led the way he was supposed to. And because of that, people suffered. And they come to the spot, this is okay. God's going to be pleased with that. But God's on the other side saying, you didn't hear that from me. You might have heard that from some TV preacher or some radio preacher, even from your own preacher. You might have heard that from your friends or your family or where you grew up from, all those other things. He says, but are you listening to me? You're not going to listen to the Lord until we start praying. And as we pray, we understand God's obedience, our purpose. It's to tell the world about the gospel. It's to glorify God. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. We would not even be here without him. Who are we to look at God and say, nope, God, I don't want to do it? Are we going to move forward? Am I thankful for our people? I am. Do I think we have a wonderful church? I do. Do I think we move forward? Sometimes. Do I think we could do better? I think the Lord's looking at us and saying, you could do 490 instead of 7. You can live for me if you'll just allow me to be in charge. If you'll seek me and search for me, you're going to find me. So this morning, do you feel like you're moving forward in your Christian life? I pray the answer is yes. Are you moving forward at that 7 or at that 490? Are you doing what you can in the flesh and doing what you think God will be pleased with? Are you looking for him and seeking him and praying and asking him what he wants you to do? You set the scene of the great white throne judgment. You're on one side. Christ is sitting on the other side. And in the middle, you got all your works. It says it's going to be tried by fire. Burns up all the things that were not done for the right reasons, with the right purposes. That is not the time to figure out what God expected. The time to figure out what God expected is now. So that way our works are not burned up. So often we're like Peter, hey, I got 7 here that I'm willing to forgive, and we think that's going to be enough. But Jesus says, you can do the 7 on your own. I want you to do something that only I can do with you. And I want works that are going to be, that are going to last. I want to encourage you today. Are we living for him the way he wants us to live? Not the way that we feel convinced it's okay, we're good, Lord's going to be pleased with it. And that's what Jesus said, I say not unto you. I never told you that. This is what I say. And it begins with prayer and seeking his face. True revival will happen when we say yes to God in every area of our life. And we will move forward. Yes, it's dark times and hard times, but many times in persecution is the time when the church grows. Through difficulties, you see growth. And I'd like to see our church continue to move forward. But I don't want to see it done at a 7 rate. I want to see it done at the 490 rate, which means through God. I know that might not make sense to some of you that wasn't in Sunday school class, but I'm sure the first thing you're going to do is when you get in your car, you're going to go home and you're going to listen to Sunday school, right? Maybe not, but maybe sometime this week, so it'll make a little bit more sense to you. I know the majority were in the adult Sunday school class. I could go through and I could read a list. I was at a conference this past week, and I heard lists of different examples about how wicked the world was. And then went through and talked about the homosexuality, talked about people that think they're religious and people this and that, and went down a long list of things that just makes the hair stand up on the back of your head or neck. Some of us don't have hair on the back of our head. There's a list there, and you know what? What's going to help us move forward? We got to learn to pray. We got to learn where we got to be God-dependent, dealing with sin, and being obedient. Let me encourage you this morning. Ask God this morning, is there something in your life that needs to change? Ask God to help us to move forward as a church. But it begins with us individually seeking his face and doing what he's called us to do. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I know the sermon is, I pray, challenging because we don't want to be satisfied with living a 7 life. We want to do what you can through us. And yes, we, as a church, see little victories. But God, I believe you have so much more for us. Help us to move forward, Lord. Help us to never be satisfied with not reading our Bibles and not praying. Help us never to be satisfied with not seeking your will for our lives. Instead, Lord, help us to seek you, pray, asking what the next steps are, allowing you to lead us, allowing you to guide us, allowing you to show us what your true will is. Lord, I don't want to get before the judgment seat of Christ and watch my works be burned up because of the fact that I thought you'd be happy with what I was doing when you intended something different or something so much more. In Jesus' name, amen.